As we begin the month of May, which for centuries the Church has identified with devotion to Our Lady, I think we should ask ourselves first, why has May been specially dedicated to Our Lady? And then, how are we to practice and deepen our devotion to Mary? The month of May had been commemorated as a special month for centuries before the rise of Christianity. It was always associated with the beginning of new life, with the origins of those things that human beings in the pagan world were especially grateful to the gods and goddesses whom they worshipped. Christianity, as we know, did not remove the basic concept, but elevated what the pagans identified by now identifying what they believed with our own faith. By every conceivable title, Mary is to be identified with the beginnings of Christianity. Except for her deep faith, she would not even have been invited to become the Mother of the Most High. Christ's conception and the incarnation of the Son of God was the beginning, not just the beginning of Christianity, but in the deepest sense of the word, the beginning of a really, really new age in human history. Mary then began Christianity by accepting her role as the mother of Jesus. But no sooner was Christ conceived in Mary's womb than she went with a newly conceived child to visit Elizabeth, and there began to exercise, that's Mary, her role as a mediatrix of graces. John conceived in his mother's womb. The moment Mary greeted Elizabeth, the young, unborn John heard Mary's voice, and he was sanctified. The beginning of the sanctification of the human race, we trace to Our Lady being used by the Holy Spirit to sanctify John the Baptist, not yet born. Unlike Mary, who was conceived without sin, John the Baptist was conceived in sin, but born without sin, thanks to Mary. Then Christ was born at Bethlehem, the third role of beginning for which Mary was responsible. The child she carried for 9 months, she believed. Let's make sure we know she believed from the moment she conceived him, and then all through his visible life on earth, she believed. He did not have to believe. He knew who he was. Christ's birth in Bethlehem marked a turning point in human history, thanks to Christ's mother, Mary. Our Lady, 40 days after Christ's birth, brought her son to be offered in the temple. The beginning, again, how this needs to be underlined. The beginning of Christ's passion. 40 days after his birth. And the prophecy of Simeon, and a sword will pierce your heart. The Holy Spirit did not wait long to inform Mary that as the Mother of God, she would have to suffer. And there's one mistake we can make, and millions are making it, is to suppose you can love Jesus Christ and not suffer for and with Jesus Christ. This now is the fifth joyful mystery. At the age of 12, Our Lady, after 3 days, finds Jesus in the temple, as a mother would, expresses her sorrow. Your father, she pointed to Joseph, and I have sought you sorrowing. Why have you done this to us? Mary thus evoked Christ's first profession of his divinity at the ripe old age of 12. Did you not know that I must be about my father's affairs? My real father's affairs? Christ professed his divinity, and hear it. And in professing his relationship to the first person of the Holy Trinity, which was the truth, he had to, you might say, he had no choice. He had to cause pain to those whom he most dearly loved on earth. But I'm not finished yet. As Jesus began his public ministry, it didn't have to be, but from all eternity, Christ chose they would work his first miracle, not to heal a paralytic, not to restore sight to a blind person. Nothing really, shall we say, nothing really humanitarian. Of all things, oh no, oh yes. Provide more wine for those who had a wedding feast, who for all we know may already have imbibed too much. Mary began Christ's public ministry by having her divine son perform his first miracle of simple, thoughtful charity. During his 3 years of preaching and working miracles, wisely but providentially, Mary kept in the background. On one dramatic occasion, remember, someone remarked, "Your mother is here." And Jesus said, "Thanks. Who is my mother? Who are my brothers and sisters? They are those who do the will of my Father." Christ was not demeaning the divine maternity of his mother, but he was telling us what is the only direct lesson that Mary taught in the Gospels. Remember? At Cana, after Jesus seemed to tell her, "Look, it's not my time yet to work miracles." And Mary said, "Oh, I know, of course, it's not your time yet. But I asked you." "I know you will shift your schedule." And he did. Well, then she told the stewards, "Do whatever he tells you. if there was ever a Marian directive that we should remember for life, do whatever my son tells you, and then expect miracles. Mary stood under the cross on Calvary. Having provided the body and blood for her divine son, it was only proper that she would be there on Calvary, where he would shed the blood he received from her and drain the body that, except for her, he wouldn't have. And the moment he died, the church was born. The church was born the moment Christ expired on the cross. And Mary was there. One more beginning in which Mary participated. On Pentecost Sunday, over the centuries, the church has taught us Mary just had to be there among the apostles and disciples, waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Except for her, we are told, there's no telling how long they would have waited for the Holy Spirit. As it turned out, only 10 short days. The church was born on Calvary, but the church began to propagate on Pentecost Sunday. And no less than the church's birth on Calvary had Mary not merely witnessing that birth, but dying in spirit with her divine son. So on Pentecost Sunday, she began what she has been doing ever since, begging her divine son to propagate the church which he founded, because she is not only the mother of Christ, she is our mother in the Spirit. Except for her, we believe, we would not have had Christ. Except for her, we must say this, none of us would be at Mass today. We thank Our Lady for all these beginnings which we commemorate during the month of May, because there's one more beginning still to come, when with the Divine Son she will call us into eternity. And as we hope and pray to join her and Jesus, to be with them and never be separated from mother and Son in that eternal holy family for which we were made. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.